The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back.
Take three.
No.
Or four.
I'm too tired. Let's just keep going. Welcome back to the Bright Side. I don't even know what I say anymore at the beginning. I know this is issue number 149. Wow, has it been a long day.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, I can't wait to get to Kryptonite. I have a conversation I can't wait to talk to you about one of the shows that I'm hoping we can talk about. So, it's been a long day. We got a lot to get to, a lot of fun stuff this week. So, John, you want to just get into the store?
Let's get into the store.
All right. And we're in the store. How are we doing, John?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
It's been a while since I said that to you.
It has.
Usually we're about to tickle and tease for a little while.
I know it, but just barreling right on in today.
Yeah. Today, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't even know what I'm saying. What was that, our fourth take? And
yeah.
Forget it. Just go, go, go. Nobody thinks we're professional.
No.
Oh, so how have things been there at Arkham Comics and Games?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's been a good week.
Yeah?
Good week. Sales were good. Books arrived kind of late today, so I was scrambling to get
But
I had power.
That's
and
a plus.
They showed up, as opposed to a lot of other people who didn't get their books today. So.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. That stinks.
Yeah. One of the other warehouses was delayed. The one that I'm serviced out of was good this time around, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were good, but.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Hey, John, do you want to get right to our new segment that we don't have a sounder for yet? But
I would love to.
What are we calling the Arkham mailbag?
Sure. Sounds good to me.
Just came up with that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting more and more comments.
I'm interested for the sounder for Arkham mailbag.
I know. So. I don't know. We'll have to think of that. We're pretty creative. Yeah. Kinda. All right, this one, it's, I forgot to say who this was, and I think this is our buddy Tom, and he's like, just finishing up the pod, so at no point did you realize that John was cranked up to like 11 and you were at like 4? You're the sound expert, buddy.
Were you loud? Was I loud?
No, it wasn't. Trust me, I'll get to it for you.
You were low.
Uh-huh. And I'll explain it to you. And it's we also got another one. This one's from Carl, our buddy Carl. And he says, hello, DJ and John. Thanks so much for the very detailed information last week about the nomenclatures.
Nomenclature?
Yeah. I've never seen it written out, I don't think. I know the word.
I'm sounding it out.
Nomenclatures. You both utilize on the podcast. It all sounds like a very similar world to vinyl collecting I've had experience with since junior high. My wife and I are in Houston at least once a year to visit friends, hit the museums, Rothko Chapel, etc. And my wife's LP12, a yearly checkup, and an update at the local dealer, Timber. We will certainly pop into Arkham Comics next time during our next visit.
Awesome.
Like our passion for local cinemas, first over any streaming service, we are both very much pro local brick and mortar book, music, and hi-fi store, first over any online retailer. Thanks for
bringing... Amen, brother.
Yes, you'll get along very well with Carl. Thanks for bringing up Norm MacDonald on this week's show. Huge fan, and he will certainly be deeply missed. Excellent to learn Shang-Chi is in theaters for only the next month or so. I hope we see a lot more trends in that direction. And then he also said, Cheers, thanks. Just as an FYI, your mic was a bit low this week.
Oh, jeez.
John's level.
You know, no, I listen, didn't notice that when I listened, though.
I know. John's level was excellent. Also, if you two could talk about how you two met, would be great. Would be excellent. He is so far from the Boston area and vice versa. Cheers. And I was like, oh, and then another one. And that reminds me, your YouTube videos should be full 4K HDR Dolby Vision Atmos. No excuses, DJ.
They should be, theater guy.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. He comes from the right side of the theater. So, but yeah. So first off, before we get to, I think it's kind of funny how we met. We haven't talked about that in a while, but no. I get, you know, like we take for granted everything. Let me get to our audio issues last week. And those, they weren't the only two. I had other people pointing it out to me, like your audio's off, your audio. And I was like, thank you to everybody that commented. I appreciate it. When I put the audio together, I do a lot to make sure to get it sounding good. And it's, you know what we've gone through over the 3 years of trying to get this. Microphones, this and that, to make it sound like we're in the same room, even though we're halfway across the country. Well, last week I did everything that I normally do, and there's a one little setting that you can accidentally bump, and I knocked my own line down -7 dB. Wow. Didn't know it, put it out, and then thanks to everybody for alerting me. I got home, and on podcasts, audio podcasts, I can just re-upload. So I came home. It literally took me 3 minutes to fix it because I go into the setting that I have. I can just up my track to 7 dB, boom, reproduce it, send it out, and I put out a tweet, you know, re-download, delete what you were listening to, re-download, you'll have no problem. You probably got it, you know, later that afternoon or whatever anyways, and you got the good track.
And well, I get it first thing, and I mean it's a subscription, so I get it right away.
Yeah, it just depends on when you click on it, probably, maybe.
Yeah, I didn't start listening to it till actually Thursday, so.
Yeah, so that's why.
That's probably
so once
why.
You download,
I was because I didn't notice it at all when I listened to it.
Because once I take it down, you'll get the other one. And but on YouTube, you can't change the video, so I just reproduced the video and I put a second one and titled it the exact same with fixed audio. So but what I did kind of like about that is how far we've come, John, that when our audio isn't good, people notice. And I like,
know,
that,
right?
Isn't that pretty cool?
They're used to us being so professional and top-notch that anything less just is unacceptable,
right. So people in the Boston area, I haven't shouted them out in a while, but I owe everything I've learned to Goo from Mac and Goo, Brian Antonelli. When we first started, I reached out to him and he was awesome. He helped me out and told me everything that I can do. And then if I ever had any questions in that first year, he was right there. He always answered the phone. He was great. So, it's the podcast world. Everybody's helping each other out. So it was awesome.
Yeah.
So John, how did we first meet? Do we want to tell that camp story?
Is there more to the story that I don't remember other than being in school?
No, yeah. I know. That's a funny thing. I was like, it's like, I don't know when we first met.
I don't either. Like, I just we've aware of friends. Each other. Well, the thing is, I'm sure we were aware of each other before we became friends necessarily because we were in high school. You know, I grew up in Massachusetts, in Franklin, right?
Yep.
And moved away for
periodically.
Seventh grade. Yeah. I moved away for seventh grade, came back for ninth grade. Well, actually, maybe it was like fifth grade, actually. So I moved away for a few years, came back. I don't remember if we knew each other before, like
high school?
From like grade school. Like, we were probably in Franklin schools together, but I don't know if we really knew each other.
Right. We knew all the same people.
I remember being friends with Matt, you know,
and so was I.
Other people before that. But it was really when I came back for high school, for ninth grade, sometime in that, you know, freshman year, we kind of it had to be art class.
Yeah, that was really what it was.
We met and kind of became friends, and yeah, I mean the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, but it was it really was art class because let's give them a description of what art class was like in our high school. We were lucky enough to have and we've talked about them, especially when we first started the podcast, Mr. McPhee, John McPhee.
Yeah.
Awesome teacher. And I mean, he graduated from RISD and he ran an art program that was, we didn't really understand it till we started going to portfolio days. And then they're like, oh, you go to Franklin High. Oh, you go, you know, John McPhee and these.
Yeah. Apparently. People, yeah. He was a bigger thing than.
Right.
We just thought he was Mr. McPhee.
Yeah. We just made fun of him.
Yeah.
but the program that he ran in the school was really geared toward, it was like a college program, a college prep art program. And you start off your first year, you just take art like everybody has to, freshman year. But then you could take other art classes as the years went on. And by junior and senior year, we were taking 3 to 4 art classes because you're done
all
with
day
all your
was art.
Yeah, it was all day art. To the point that we used to get passes to get out of our other classes to go back to the art
room. Right.
But
I spent more time in study hall in the art room than I did anywhere else in my last 2 years of high school.
I got caught in the hall by Mr. McPhee with one of
or
his
or not
passes.
Being in school.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And he's like, I didn't sign this. And I'm like, I know. We're art students.
Right.
He goes, it looks like my signature. But yeah, no, it's
so do, like, I pass?
Yeah, exactly. What'd you think? Oh, but yeah, the atmosphere that we had in growing up in the high school, we were together all the time in that room.
Yeah.
And then when we graduated, you and I actually got even closer.
Yeah, until I was, you know, I moved away at 20, you know, right in 1990. But yeah, that 2 years kind of between high school and when I left,
yeah,
we were pretty close.
Yeah. And
to the point where you were the best man at my wedding and gave a toast that, like, will go down through the ages. Like the toast of toasts, I think.
let me see. I got it written down here somewhere.
Yeah. Do you have it written down?
Let me see. I got a copy of it. It's fairly lengthy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a heart. That's toast. A story for another time.
Yeah.
Luckily, there was no audio recording. There's no video recording.
Yeah, it was all done with cameras, so it was
unlike a version of, like, the Zapruder film or something, you don't need a recording. It's often imitated. Sadly duplicated.
Yeah.
I shocked the room, let's just say that.
You did.
He's done. All right.
So.
Oh man, that was some bad advice I got on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and then actually after that, it was kind of we connected periodically over the years, but not really regularly until a couple of years ago.
When things happened, we got in touch with each other.
Yes, yes. And like I said, we talked periodically, but was it 2018? August 2018, before your birthday, you know, Jen sent me a message and said, yeah, I'd love to, you know, for DJ's birthday, I'd love to, you know, take us down there to visit.
And, yeah.
I was super on board with that. And then,
yeah.
You know, again, then we kind of, from there, now we talk every other day or so.
You know? I know. Exactly.
At least through text. And, you know, we do this every week, so.
Yeah, I think what was funny, too, is right before, Jen had already been in touch with you, and I had texted you, like, it was the May or June before we came down, because that's when you got flooded. That's when Houston had that. So I texted you to check in on you then, see how everything was going, because I was seeing what was going on. But that was to the extent of us talking. It was like if something big happened or something was going on, we would get in touch with each other. And then, yeah, Jen gave me that for my birthday, and we came down in, like, the first weekend of August. And, we were sitting there, and we said, hey, you want to do a podcast? And literally talking ever since. Sometimes telling ourselves to shut up because we gotta do a podcast about this.
Stop talking.
Stop talking. We gotta record this.
I have a show to do.
Yeah. That's it in a nutshell. There's some colorful stories in there.
We've hit on a few times. Friends for 30 plus years at this point, so there's lots of colorful stories.
But. Yep, and we both have children, and this goes out over the airs and cannot be taken down.
So we'll leave it at that.
Yep. But that's it. But that will do it. How's that for our first Arkham mailbag?
Arkham mailbag. Awesome.
So if you would like to contribute to the Arkham mailbag, send it. You can text DM. I prefer if you text or if you DM to @brightside_chat because the Arkham comics with an X mailbag has a hole in the bottom of it.
It does, yes. It's a leaky ship.
So you can tweet at me, not text, @brightside_chat, or you can email us thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And we will chit-chat. I am sure we will hear back from Carl again. Tom is always great. Dr. Joe. I mean, we have some regulars, but there are some others out there that like to chime in, especially the home theater guys. Those are very vocal guys.
So yeah.
That'll be fun. And we'll have to come up with a sounder. How about that? How about if people come up with a sounder? That would be cool. All right. You ready to get to some news? Now that we're done reminiscing, don't make me say nomenclature again.
Yeah, I have a little story first. It's going to culminate in another listener question that we're going to solicit feedback for. So last Friday, Lydia and I, we go out to dinner every Friday night. It's kind of our date night. And we were driving back from dinner and we were listening to the Ralph Report. And, you know, we mention the Ralph Report a lot on this show. We listen to it every day. I don't know if you remember Friday's show, but there was a lot of talk about their balls at the beginning of Friday's show, right? So we're listening to the show and 5-10 minutes of ball talk at the beginning of the show. And then Ralph has a section also called, like, you know, he has a mailbag section or whatever.
Don't tell me he said ball.
No. Oh. And he says, somehow he mentions the Garmy. And Lydia turns to me and says, well, what do you call your guys? And I'm still thinking, I've still got balls on the brain, right? So I'm like, I don't call my guys anything. Like, I'm 50. I don't have names for my... And she's like, no, your listeners. What do you call your listeners? She says, they have the Garmy. What do you call your guys? And I said, you know, we don't call our guys anything. So...
The few, proud.
Yeah. So I think we need to have a name for our listeners. So I think the listeners should contribute their ideas on what they would like to be referred to. And maybe we could start incorporating that into the show. But I just cracked, like, she started laughing. Like,
did you, like, look down?
No, I didn't. I said, but I was like, I don't call my guys anything.
Lefty, righty, I don't know.
Yeah. Droopy, saggy, Big Ben.
Depending on the day, grumpy.
Yeah. So. I just thought that was funny.
Sad that you went with the dwarfs.
Yeah. She just, like, cracked up. You know?
That's awesome. What do you call your guys? I don't know. Yeah. They have names.
Yeah, it's like, they don't have names. So, but, you know, I was like...
Names to things that get out of line.
That's right.
Or yell at.
You know, see the light of day every once in a while. So. So anyways, I thought that was funny.
That's great.
But I was like, you know, we should come up with a name for our listeners. So
yeah,
I don't have any. That's why I threw it out there for them.
You're still trying to work on names something. For the other guys.
I know, right? I'm still trying to figure out how to name my balls now, but.
Oh boy.
I said, we've been together 20 years. If they had names, you'd know it by now. I'd introduced you a long time ago. So.
Oh, God. Oh, wow. This show's... We haven't even gotten to the show yet.
I know. I just, like, I've been... I actually wrote that in my notes so I wouldn't forget to tell that
to talk
story.
About your... Yeah,
because
okay.
that happened, like, last Friday. And I was like, I'll forget by Tuesday.
Yeah, don't you hate that? And that's when it's like, after the show, you're like, don't!
Yeah.
That's great.
You made her laugh quite hard last week, too.
And what did I do now? Like,
The hardest I've ever seen her laugh on this show, honestly.
Really?
When we were talking, I don't remember what we were talking about, but you said something about the timestamp on the show. And I said, yeah, it's at like 37, 49, 17. And in the background, you go, hike. and we're like listening and like it kind of goes by and like she didn't say anything. And then like 30 seconds later, she said, did he say hike? And I said, yeah. And she just busted out laughing like so hard.
It's the little things, you know?
Yeah, it is.
I mean they can't
good.
All
she
be.
She fell onto Dick. They can't be, but now they can be hike.
Yeah, now I'll have to isolate that sound. You know, that'll be hard to find. I couldn't just say it again. Hike.
Right.
Oh, that's great. That's great. It's the little things, John, you know?
It is. It is.
All right, enough about your balls. All right.
Enough about that.
All right.
Enough self-congratulatory talk here.
I know. Boy. All right, now, are we ready to get to the news?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I had to dig deep for some news this week, because there was, like, really nothing.
That's okay.
Hardly anything, so. But I did find a few things. So, it looks like Netflix is adapting Matt Wagner's Grendel comic for a live-action TV series.
Yep, we'll be talking about that later.
Okay.
No, you know that. It's in Speculator.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I thought you were talking about, like...
I don't have
like,
information.
I thought you had more info. I was like, oh, okay.
I told you, I'm following your lead today.
Okay. All right. And it looks like there is also a Lost Boys reboot movie being developed with the stars of It and Quiet Place 2.
Oh, nice.
The young actors. Who were in both of those movies. The young boys look like they're going to be part of this.
Cool.
Maybe they'll get Kiefer. You know, vampires are ageless, but Kiefer Sutherland is not. So
no.
I don't know.
He has age. Kind of like Charlie Sheen type age, too.
Yeah.
Like weather.
He's lived rough. He was rode wet and put away hard.
Yeah.
So...
I think it's the other way around, but okay.
Yeah. Rode hard and put away wet. Is that what it is? Yeah. I guess that's the saying, huh? Rode hard and put away wet. That didn't even make sense. Of course, neither one of them makes sense, but I guess it's it's not a palindrome. It's not the same frontwards and backwards.
I can see riding wet. Like, oh, it's raining, but how do you put it away?
Well, I mean, when I hear that, my mind goes somewhere completely different. So,
put away. I wish I could have. If my eyes weren't so blurred, I would have. What?
Hey, just the little things.
Oh God. Just go.
Yeah, so next up, we have Anthony Mackie starring in, I guess Sony's developing a Twisted Metal TV series. Twisted Metal is a video game franchise.
Yep.
Oh, looks like that's in the works.
That and actually looks finally, interesting to me, but I'm not
100% sure. I don't know anything about the franchise. I don't know Twisted Metal. Yeah. I've never played the game, so I don't even know what it's about. But
yeah, it's like a racing game type thing, but with like weird. Like they I think they shoot at each other and stuff. So I don't know.
Mad Max type of thing, maybe.
I'm picturing roller derby with cars, where they're just bashing into each other type thing. If I remember right, something like that.
Okay. And then last but not least, Bryce Dallas Howard is rebooting Flight of the Navigator for Disney Plus. This will be reimagined with a female lead,
I am so in for this.
That's the main character.
Because I don't think I've ever seen
Flight of the Navigator, honestly. But
I probably haven't seen it in 20 years. But
I like her. I love
everything she does. I love. Yeah. I mean, I'm really excited for this.
In the description of the, like I said, I've never seen the movie, but the synopsis of what it's about is intriguing. So, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, you'll like it. I can't believe you haven't seen it. Like I said, it's been over 20 years maybe for me.
Maybe I did long time ago, but it doesn't, like, I don't remember it, so it doesn't stand out.
Hmm.
So I don't think I've seen it.
But, All right. That it?
Yeah, that's all I could find.
All right. That's good. Let's keep it moving. My stomach still hurts from that laughter. All right. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. So this week's Speculator Roundup is a little different because we're going to talk about several books here that I don't have any pricing information on.
And I don't have images.
But there is a whole slew of first appearances this week, and so these are the books that you may want to pay attention to just for their potential speculator value. So starting with Aquaman the Beginning, issue number 1, is the first appearance of a character called Deluge. Batman 113 is the first full appearance of the Peacekeeper. Mm-hmm. Batman Adventures Continue Season 2. Batman Adventures Continued Season 2. Okay, I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
Issue number 4, first appearance of Muscle. Flash 774 is the first Dr. Nightmare. Suicide Squad King Shark. There's a whole bunch of first appearances here. There's like 6 of them. I'm not going to read them all out, but maybe worth picking that up. Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, number 4, is the first appearance of the Brigands. And then from Marvel, we're going to talk about Moon Knight, number 3, in a minute. But there's also the United States of Captain America, issue number 4. This is the first appearance of Ariella Agbayani.
Good for you.
Probably this month's. She's this month's Captain America, I'm sure. X Corp number 5, first Nobles, which is a team. And then X Men Legends number 7, first Gigi and Hino Chan. So,
all right.
That is it on those.
Okay. All of those will be in the show notes with the first, first appearance name next to it, so you'll be able to figure out everything there. And then from here on out, we have images on YouTube, so we'll be going to, you'll be able to see the book that we're talking about.
All right, so next up we have Batman Secret Files Miracle Molly. The 1-in-25 variant here is selling for between $20 and $30 on average, so pretty much right at ratio, right where you expected it to be. Cold Dead War, issue number 1, second printing. People seem to like the cover here on this one. It's selling for between $8 and $10.
You could take that cover from my cold dead hands, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, no kidding. It's a nice cover.
Yeah.
Death of Doctor Strange, issue number 1. The two open to order, the Peach Momoko and the Scotty Young covers, should both do very well. Both artists have a huge fan base. But the Hans 1-in-25 variant is selling for between $25 and $40. So a little bit of a spread on that one.
Okay.
Moon Knight number 3. This is the first Hunter's Moon. And this is currently selling for about $9 for the main cover. Radiant Black number 8. There's only a couple of the 1-in-25 listed at the moment, but both of them are up over the $50 range. The few recent sales on these have been in the $40 range. So definitely one to keep an eye on. The incentives for Radiant Black have done pretty well on average, so might be worth grabbing. Symbiote Spider-Man number 3, Gerald Perel 1-in-25 variant, selling for between $35 and $40. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Last Ronin, issue number 4. 1-in-10 variant here, selling it over ratio for between $20 and $30. Keep in mind, though, that this is a $10 cover price book, so at $10 is just the regular cover price.
Right.
So if it was only selling at ratio for $10, it wouldn't be worth it. But $20 to $30 is where that's selling. And then finally, United States of Captain America, number 4, the Peach Momoko 1 in 25 variant, selling for between $30 and $40.
So that cover, this is where I really don't get the Peach hype. Because I think the other covers were, there was another cover that went with this that I thought was really, really nice. I can't remember who it was, but I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's just the, you know, she has her fan base that just love everything.
She's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just like there's some other ones that are so dynamic.
But same thing, even if you're a fan of somebody's art, that doesn't necessarily mean you like every cover they do.
Right.
So just because she's super popular doesn't mean she can't put out a mediocre or bad cover, you know.
Yeah.
Occasionally, but yeah, and this one's selling for, you know, almost twice ratio at the high end. So I guess it's doing fairly well, but
crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is.
All right. All right. Are you ready to get to, what are we on? Back issue bonus?
Back issue bonus. All right. So let's talk Grendel again.
Now we're on Grendel.
Yeah, so this was announced as coming to Netflix live action show. So Grendel's first appearance was in a book called Primer, issue number 2. This was already a super rare indie book, you know, that was hard to find, selling now easily at $1,000. The Grendel issue number 1, much more reasonable. At $300 to $500.
That's the image I have. I didn't get the $1,000 images.
Yeah. And then there's also a Grendel Volume 2, issue number 1. This came out in 1986 and selling for between $20 and $80. So Grendel's been around for a while. He definitely has this fan base. I've never really read much Grendel, so I don't know too much about the character. Looks like a sort of a black Deadpool or Spider-Man looking at the costume.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but he looks cool, so hopefully this thing will be good.
I'm sure the show will be good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I might try to read some of it before the show just to see what Grendel's all about, but I won't be dropping $1,000 for Primer number 2 to do it. So
you're still saving up for that Kaleidoscape.
That's right. That's right. Next up, we have Daredevil, issue 111. What?
People that aren't listening to the Home Theater podcast are like, why would you pay that much money for a kaleidoscope? Yeah. You know, the thing that you...
Yeah.
You looked in with a kid. That's like, what's in it?
Yeah. It's gold. Gold flakes.
Exactly.
All right, next up, Daredevil, issue number 111. This is from volume 2. This is first appearance of Lady Bullseye. Lady Bullseye is apparently appearing in the Hitmonkey show that's getting ready to debut soon. So this is selling for between $50 and $100 for the main cover. There's a Terry Dodson variant cover selling for between $70 and $100. Nope. And then the C cover is selling for between $150 and $200. So there's also a second printing of this selling for between $25 and $35.
I only grabbed the main cover. But it's a nice cover. The main cover. It's a really cool cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other ones were too, but I was flying through trying to get these images, and I didn't realize you had all those listed.
Oh, well.
My apologies.
All those covers anyways.
Yeah.
All right.
Ultimate Fantastic Four.
My computer froze for a second. I couldn't scroll down. All right, Ultimate Fantastic Four number 22. This first appearance of the Marvel Zombies, selling for between $40 and $50. Immortal Iron Fist number 8. This is the first appearance of Fat Cobra, among others. But it also looks like Fat Cobra will be appearing in the Hitmonkey show.
Are we fat shaming a snake?
I guess so. He too many mice.
Must be from the 70s. You can't do that nowadays.
Yeah, you can't.
Can't say that.
Can't say Fat Cobra.
No.
Anyway, $40 to $50 on that one. West Coast Avengers number 7. This is from the 2019 series. This is the first appearance of Jeff the Land Shark, who apparently now has his own Marvel Unlimited series. So that's selling for between $30 and $40. Black Knight issue number 1 from 1990. Selling for between $20 and $30. Yes, the 90s Black Knight miniseries is selling for $20 to $30. So check your dollar boxes for that.
Yeah, it'll be there.
Yep. Champions number 22. This is from the 2018 series. The first meeting of Ironheart and Amadeus Cho as a character called Braun. This also features a new Ironheart armor. So this one is selling for between $40 and $80 for raw copies. There's also a second print, which can't be very plentiful out there. That one's selling for about $200. Okay. Marvel Spectacular number 5. So this is one of those 1970s reprints of 1960s books. And this one reprints Thor number 134. We talked about that last week, the first appearance of the High Evolutionary, which just kind of exploded last. So people are looking for cheaper alternatives, and this is out there for between $20 and $30. So,
all right.
Next, we have Gem and the Holograms number 7. The B cover is actually the first published work by Jen Bartel. It's a pretty popular artist, and it is also pretty scarce, so it is selling for between $40 and $70. And then last but not least, Master of Kung Fu, number 105. It's the first appearance of Razor Fist 2. Fairly cheap at the moment, but copies are starting to trend upwards into the $25 range, so might be worth picking one up now before it gets too high.
Cool.
And that is it for Back Issue Bonus.
Alrighty, let's move right along to FOC.
Alright, so first off, from DC, we have Catwoman number 36. This is a really great Harley Quinn, Jenny Frisson cover. I don't know why Harley is so prominent on the cover of Catwoman number 36, but she is. And then we have Nightwing number 85. Is. Yeah.
It's a cool cover.
This is actually a pretty cool Jamal Campbell cover.
The Nightwing new series, one? Yeah. Nightwing yeah. is really nice, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. I keep listing these as new series. At this point, it's just an ongoing, right? Batman Secret Files, Peacekeeper 01. This is got two covers. Again, it's just the next. I think at this point, Batman Secret Files is just an ongoing monthly book because there seems to be one every month. So,
right.
It's just that they're all listed as number ones.
As number ones, right.
Yeah. next up, we have DC vs. Vampires, issue number 1. This is going to be a 12-issue series. There's multiple covers here. This one I'm actually pretty excited for. Refrigerator Full of Heads, issue number 1.
Sequel this to is, Basket?
It is, yes. This is a 6-issue miniseries with two covers. But yes, this is the return of the Hill House label there at DC. And this is a sequel to Basket Full of Heads, which I really enjoyed.
Doesn't seem as mobile as the basket.
This has got to be 2 years ago now that came out.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And that took place, didn't that take place in Maine?
Maine,
right?
Or the Cape. Cape or somewhere there. And this is the same place.
Same idea, yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, we have Task Force Z, issue number 1. And there's multiple covers for that.
Right.
Next from Dark Horse, we have Critical Role. My scroll thing is really acting wonky. Okay. Dark Horse, Critical Role, Tales of Exandria, issue number 1 of 4 with one cover. from IDW. See, I'm sorry. It's like every time I try to scroll down, it like goes back to the top of the page. I don't know why it's doing that, but I can't get to, all right. Dungeons and Dragons Mindbreaker from IDW Comics. This is issue number 1 of 5. It's going to have multiple covers. From Image, we have Hellcop number 1 with multiple covers. And then Nita Hawes Nightmare Blog issue number 1 with multiple covers. Apparently, this is a spinoff from Killadelphia. Which I haven't read, but I know Dr. Joe over there at the TLDR podcast, he raves about Killadelphia, so I'm going to have to check it out one of these days. But the main cover for this, if you're on the YouTube page, is like frightening.
It's like, gross.
It's definitely awful. The stuff of nightmares, yes.
Yeah. I don't think
that
Dr.
alone
Joe's
makes me want to
reading this one.
That makes me want to read this book, which means I have to go read Killadelphia first, because she's a character that spins out of that book, so...
Oh, it is awful.
Yeah. But cool at the same time.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Looks like she's throwing up a mouse or like with
I don't know what
eight
it
legs.
Is. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's even going out or coming in. Like,
is,
I have no
right?
idea.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. So, I'm just like,
I don't know if I'm coming or going, but it's gross.
It's disgusting. So, go to YouTube and check all that out.
okay. <All right. laughs> And then moving on down to Marvel, we have variant covers for The Death of Doctor Strange, number 2. This is the Joe Jusco Masterpiece variant. There's a whole series of these Masterpiece variants this month, but I like this one for this week. And then new series... same. This is kind of just like the Batman Secret Files at this point. Marvel Voices Community number 1, another one shot with multiple covers. Well, but I mean, there's Marvel Voices. There's like now 10 of these Marvel Voices, and they are also all listed as number 1. But it seems like it should just be an ongoing series at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we have Phoenix Song Echo. Issue number 1. This is a 5-issue series with multiple covers. And then finally a one-shot, Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters, IG-88. And that has multiple covers.
Ooh.
And that is it for FOC.
All righty. And let's move right on over to check out what we're going to check out this week. All right, John.
So the first book we're going to check out is Maw, issue number 1. This is a 5-issue miniseries from Boom Studios. It was written by Jude Ellison and S. Doyle. Had art by A.L. Kaplan. Cover art by Ariella Cristantina. So this book follows two sisters who are... going to a feminist retreat. I'm trying to think of the... I can't see the... Oh, Marion. So Marion is being dragged by her sister Wendy to this retreat. Marion does not believe in this business and really doesn't want to be going here, but she's playing along with her sister.
Sounds like she's the one that needs it, though.
Yeah.
And that's why she's being brought along.
Yeah, but Marion has a drinking problem and kind of gets into trouble, and Wendy thinks this might be good for her. Once they get there, Marion, doesn't want to really have any part of this, and she kind of bails out and goes to town and finds herself at a bar, and something pretty bad happens to her there. We don't know exactly.
Neither does she.
What happened, but it's not good. I thought like she had been raped, but I don't know if that is actually what happened.
Right. We don't know anything.
But, she kind of wakes up. She, goes back the next day. She's talking to her sister, and, Wendy wants her to go to the police. Marion doesn't want to go to the police because apparently this kind of thing has happened to her in the past where she actually was raped. Doesn't feel like the police helped her, that the guys got any justice, or that any justice was done. But yeah, I think this is actually something more sinister that happened to her this time around. This looks like, you know, this is a horror story, I think, at its heart. So while the first issue didn't really play out that way, I think it's setting itself up. You know, once we find out what happened and what was done to her, I think is when we'll, you know, start to see what the story is going to be. But I like this book. I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm definitely intrigued, and I want to know what's going on with Marion and what happened to her. I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good, but I would have liked it. I would have liked a little more information. I felt like by the end of it, we were like, okay, they went to a retreat, and I mean, there's no spoilers, but this is the whole book. They go to a retreat. She goes to a bar. We don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Let's see book two.
Right.
And you're like, it was good. Don't get me wrong. I want to read two, but this is one of those things that a month from now, when two comes out, am I going to remember this book? You know what I mean? Like, you know, was there really anything memorable in the book other than a bunch of naked women dancing on the beach?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
there was no big, like, aha moment or anything like that. To what is eventually going to happen with Marion. We just don't know what it is yet.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was interesting enough. Like the writing, you know, we really condensed down what happened. And it, you know, ultimately that is essentially what happened in the whole book. But I mean, there was a lot of dialogue, you know, there was a lot of stuff that kind of went on in between the pages that, I thought was interesting. So, I hope I remember to read it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
I'm sure I will because, you know, having the store, I see everything that comes in. Whether you remember it on the stand next month, I don't know. But I'll see it come in, and it'll trigger me to remember to read it. But But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was good. It didn't blow me away. Like it was the best thing I've read. in 6 months.
I just thought it was missing a little something extra to get you to get to book two. And that's, I liked the writing. I liked the dialogue. The artwork was good. Just at the end, I was like, is it? I'm like, I wanted just that little bit more because there was that little bit of tension all the way through because like you feel for that sister and you're just like, especially, and you find out her past and you know, the whole dialogue about, you know, the women that are there and using their anger and giving their anger a voice. And you
and see if the anybody sister has that's
taken off, she's the one that needs to be there giving their anger a voice. And you get all of that, but that's not what the book, it's like the book seems to be going in a different direction, but what'd you say? It's five issues.
It's five issues.
It's right here. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, but it just needed, to me, it just needed a little something extra to get you to go, oh, wow, I can't wait for the next book or something, you know, so we'll see. I'm sure you'll remind me, or I'll probably see it. Depends on what the cover looks like. Hard to forget Ma, though.
It was, yes.
Ma.
It was hard to forget.
So, all right, next up.
Yeah, so next up I read Primordial, issue number one. This is a six-issue series from Image Comics. It's written by Jeff Lemire, had art by Andrea Sorrentino. So this is the same team that did Gideon Falls, which was another book that I read and actually enjoyed. So I like these guys together. And Jeff Lemire always, you know, he always does solid work. So, so this book takes place in the, you know, late 50s, early 60s, and it's kind of the beginning of the space race. You know, with Russia and the U.S. And, you know, it goes on to say, and these are historical events that actually took place, although I don't know if the time frames actually match up. I'm sure they probably do.
Yeah.
But in 1957, Russia launched the
Sputnik
dog. Yeah, Sputnik and the dog Laika into Earth's orbit. The dog obviously never returned to Earth. 2 years later, the USA responded with two monkeys, Abel and Baker, that they sent into space. And those animals also never returned. So, you know, the general belief is that, you know, they died in space. But according to this book, they did not die in orbit. They were taken by alien beings. And, you know, so that's kind of like the thrust of the story. But through it all, you know, you have just a very classic 50s and 60s kind of Cold War thriller story going on. You know, they bring in this scientist who thinks he's coming into NASA to continue to work on the space race, only to find out that everything's being shut down.
Right. Twist on reality.
Right.
Yeah.
But he stumbles upon information that basically proves that the two monkeys were alive after the official date that they, or the official time that they were supposedly pronounced dead. Once he brings this information to the higher ups, he's basically just very quickly shuffled out of there. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's a huge cover up going on that, he's now a part of. So yeah, it seems pretty interesting. You know, the historical parts of it I enjoy because a lot of this is based on things that really happened. But then, of
but
course,
a twist
this is going to be
it,
yeah.
Because in this version, the space race gets shut down.
Right. And so, it doesn't go any further.
We don't go back. We don't go any further. And they're basically, it takes place in, like you said, early 60s. They're cleaning up because they're not going, the space race is
program
over.
Is, right, it's over.
In both countries.
So right, because the U.S. because Russia knows what happened, and so does the United States. The official story,
right.
Or they know something happened.
Right.
They don't know what
it is. What would it take to scare them?
Right,
but
they know that the stories they put out there for the public were not true. And again, like you said, something happened that they were scared enough that they do not want to venture any further into space.
Right.
And then, you know, you kind of end with the animals, you know, kind of being taken onto
a
spaceship or something, you know.
Yeah, and having a consciousness. Like they can.
Yeah, they can kind of think.
Talk.
Yeah.
So
Or it's telepathy or something.
Something,
you know? We don't,
yeah. Because what does the dog say? Like, hello?
Hello, basically, just last, hello.
Yeah, yeah, it's.
But
I loved it.
I loved it.
You know, I loved that, like you said, like the historical, non-historical part of it, you know, but like an alternate reality type thing and just the animals. And then because you feel for the animal, and I thought the animals were drawn so well, like realistically, but then at the end, you saw their, like, their personalities. Like they looked like, scared. And especially in those panels where they were supposed, like they were dying or whatever, or that's what we thought was happening to them.
Right. They don't know.
And there
were
no words. You just had to see them and you're, I thought it was really well done that way. This one here, this one I think could be a lot of fun. And I'm just noticing the cover now. And what the standard cover, the main cover, Primordial, and you got the monkey on the main cover with the flag behind him.
Right.
That looks like it's the space shuttle being launched.
Oh,
they're
really?
It's a silhouette in white of the space shuttle shooting up behind him.
Okay.
Behind the monkey in the blue part of the flag, which is funny because this takes place in the 60s and the space shuttle hadn't been invented yet.
Right, right.
And they were shutting down the space program, so there was no space shuttle.
Right.
So that was, but yeah, it was a lot of fun to read. I was like on the edge of my seat the entire time, like, where is this going? And then the way it all wrapped up, I'm like, I'm really excited for number two.
Yeah. So. Yeah, me too. Definitely looking forward to that.
So do we have a show title, John?
Well, I like Primordial.
That's what I'm saying.
Two, I think. Yeah, I think so.
All righty.
I liked Primordial.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I really liked it too. So we have Primordial from Image Comics. That's the, for all of you listening now, you now know the title. See how we did that for you?
You now know where it came from.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know what we didn't do? And let's interject before we get to what's coming next week. We never talked about, like, what we're even going to talk about in Kryptonite.
Oh,
we never got to any of our stuff. We didn't talk about What If at all. We didn't talk about DC Titans. And this is the one that I really want. We don't have to talk about any of it right now. We could do it all in Kryptonite.
Yeah.
But have you been watching Why the Last Man?
I have. I mean, it's going to be part of Real World. But yes,
well, all right, yeah. Well, yeah. But I want to do Kryptonite for people that haven't watched it yet as well. But we'll do spoiler-free Why the Last Man first. But because I can definitely do that. But okay. All right. Awesome. So in the middle of it, we have a teaser for what's coming in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, right. If you've gone this far.
You've gone this far, you're probably sticking it out.
Yeah.
So. All right. What do we got coming up next week, John?
Next week we have Frontiersman, issue number 1, from Image Comics, and then He Who Fights with Monsters, issue number 1. And I believe that's from Ablaze Comics.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Cover. I like the art on it.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks cool. Really cool. Looking forward to that one. When I first saw the title for it, I was like, that doesn't sound very... And then I saw the cover, and I was like, ooh, actually, I like that.
Yeah.
Like, that actually looks pretty good. All right. This week, what have you read this week? I've got a few.
I've got a couple, too. So I was behind on Beyond the Breach. I had only read issue number 1, and then in issue 3 came out last week. So I got caught up on that. I read issues 2 and 3. I really like that book. You know, the story really ramps up in issue 2. We meet some more characters that weren't present in the first issue. And this book is a lot of fun. I really enjoyed both of those issues. So can't wait for the next one. It's actually been pretty decent. So, cool. Yeah.
I caught up on, I read Last Book You'll Ever Read.
Yeah.
Number 2. Really good. Really enjoying that. That's not the last book I'll ever read, but it's a good story.
No, but it's a good story.
Kind of jumping the shark with the title, but okay.
Yeah.
Not All Robots, number 2. You talked about last week. Really good.
We did talk about that.
It
was excellent, but I love the trial. You know? It was just like...
Don't forget to give this to the judge.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. And it's like, and when he says it, you're like, "What does that mean?" Then
reminded me of going to confession. It's like, okay, say 5 Hail Marys on the way out, and
right. You're on trial for like genocide,
killing 200,000 people.
It's like what the.
Then they're like, you know, we kind of did them a favor because.
But that's what I love.
Their lifespan is pretty short anyway, so
right. Because in their perception, and that's what I love about the book, is like what the robots are saying, it's not wrong from their perspective.
Not.
You know, they're not. Like, what? What did we? It was a mercy killing, really. We just saved them from the misery of the end of their lives.
And what I love, I'm going to say I love it, and I can't actually think of any of them off the top of my head, but like all the nicknames that the one robot has for the guy he works with, you know, it's like, you know, what's up, Buckethead? You know, I can't think of any of them, but they're all super funny, you know?
But
it's
then
like,
they were trying to...
You know, like, what's up, R2-D2, or some, you know, stuff like that. And it's like...
Yeah, it is fun.
I thought it was really
it's
fun.
It's fun, but it's like, it's a crazy commentary on, like, how we look
for
at
sure.
things. It's, yeah. Oh, it and then the robots are trying... The robots actually don't want to be replaced by their own robots.
Right, the mandroids.
It's weird. It's like you've got to... It's really weird where that's going. Is there the... What's the length of that series, do you know?
I think 5 issues.
Is it 5?
It's AWA. They're typically 5.
Okay.
They're typically 5 issues.
Really
yeah.
good. Yeah. I read number... The Me You Love in the Dark, Number two. That's the artist, yeah. Ghost artist one, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because I read it last week. That was good.
Yeah.
The Darth Vader.
Yeah, I really like that. I really like that series.
That is that's a good book. Darth Vader number 16. We get a little bit more information. Luke doesn't look so bad.
I haven't read that one.
Oh, all right. When you read that, it's like, remember last time he took off at the end of the book and we're like, what the hell? You get a little more information. He doesn't look so bad.
Doesn't look quite so bad.
Yeah. You know, I read Commissioner Gordon number 7. I mean, the Joker number 7.
Yeah.
Did you read that?
I didn't. No.
I read that one?
I have a whole stack of. Yeah, I didn't get to as many things last week as I wanted to, but.
How about Moths number 4? No. Okay. I can't wait to talk about that. And then I didn't get to Black Widow. I didn't get to Ninjak number 3, Iron Man 12.
Yeah, I didn't get to any of those either.
Did you read Last Flight Out number 1? That was a couple weeks ago.
I did not.
I have it. I want to read it. I haven't read it, though. I haven't had a chance to.
No.
So. Did you ever get to Vampireverse?
Yeah, I was going to say, I read Vampireverse.
Vampireverse?
Vampireverse, yeah.
How was it?
It was fine. You know, it's a Vampirella story.
If I had an opportunity, I was going to read it today before we came on. I saved it because I knew we had done the, you know, the quick.
It was kind of like very Crisis on Infinite Earths kind of thing or whatever. You know, it's like the multiverse with all the Vampirellas.
Oh,
and like the guys going through each time zone trying to kill off all the Vampirella, you know, it's one of those things. And, you know, there's, you know, big twist at the end.
Oh, cool.
That you kind of see coming from a mile away, but it's supposed to be a big twist. But, you know, it was fine. It was Vampirella, so it was fine. But the other one I read that I really liked was Trial of Magneto number 2.
Oh, yeah, you liked that. You read the first one. I loved the first one.
Yeah, yeah, this is a great series. The art in this is phenomenal. Like, it's so good. And then the story has been really, really compelling. Like, it's really good. Little bit, there was like one data page in this one. The first issue didn't have any. There was one small one in this, but it didn't distract too much. But this is a really excellent series, so...
cool.
Yeah, I really recommend that one.
I'll have to check that out. That's easy to catch up on. Only 2 books.
Yeah, it's only 2. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Is that?
That's really all I read. Yeah, that's really all I read this week.
I got quite a bit done. I was happy to get caught up on some of those. That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Me You Love in the Darkest Night. It really good.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Fun ghost. Yeah. What was the other ghost story? Artist ghost. It was a guy though, wasn't it?
Yeah, remember Possessive, which I still haven't read number 2 yet. I have it put aside, but I haven't read it. I haven't got to it yet.
Okay.
But yeah, that one, I liked the first issue, so I'm looking forward to that one too.
Yeah, we haven't gotten the first, we haven't gotten that?
I mean, the second issue.
So we haven't
gotten it yet?
It's out. Oh,
no, it's out. I just haven't read it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it came out last week, I believe. I just didn't get to it.
Okay. I'll have to look for that. I'll have to grab that.
Yeah.
All right. Alrighty, let's move right along to Real World. Where's our Real World? There it is.
There it is.
All right. John?
All right, well...
What was on your big screen this week?
All right, well, I watched...
There we go.
I watched the aforementioned Why the Last Man.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that they were dropping so many episodes right off the bat. But
they dropped 3? I think
they dropped 3, and then number 4 was on yesterday, and I actually watched that as well.
I haven't seen that one yet. Okay, we weren't able. What time did it drop yesterday?
It showed up for me actually like midnight Sunday night. It was on my Apple TV, but we watched it in the evening when I got home from work.
Oh, you know what happened? Jen and I were going to sit down and watch it at dinner last night, and I had a bunch of hockey meetings, Zoom meetings I had to get to, and I thought I was going to have time in between, and it wasn't there. We thought it would be, and that's the one. We had a half hour or 40 minutes to watch something,
right.
And we actually went to watch the Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, okay.
And that one didn't drop until today.
Oh, really?
That one, yeah. That the latest episode of that. So,
okay. But yeah, I yeah. So I watched all four episodes of this. For those that don't know, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you do. But this is a show based on the comic book from Brian K. Vaughan and Pia Guerra. And yeah, I think it's pretty good. It's fairly faithful to the comic, although it has made a few changes.
Yeah,
it's updated a little bit for 2021. We'll get to that in real world, but there's a few things in this story that were not present in the original comic from,
yeah,
you know, 15, 16 years ago or whenever it came out. But it's overall been fairly, you know, fairly faithful to the book. So,
yeah. I feel like, and I mean, we could talk, I could say the spoiler free. I feel like by the pacing of the show, I don't know how many episodes is the show? I feel like we're only going to get like halfway through the first story that we read.
Oh, yeah. It feels like there's 10. I think there's 10 episodes I saw for season one.
Okay.
This could definitely be a 5 or 6 season thing, depending on.
To get through what we read?
Yeah. How they stretch it out. But yeah, it was like 60 or so, maybe 70 issues of the comic. I don't remember exactly, but it goes on a bit. You know, the funny thing is when we watched the, I think we got through like the second episode and Lydia asked me, she's like, is this based on a comic? And I was like, yeah, it was. but you know, the funny thing is like, I read the comic only about a year and a half ago or so. Like I read it fairly recently.
You read it
maybe
first,
2 years ago.
Yeah. And then I read it after you, I think,
but
I started
the problem
it
is,
after you started it and it,
I'm like racking my brains for a comic that I read fairly recently, and I don't really remember what, like, I don't know why he's alive. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I can't actually remember what happened. And it's like, I just read this thing. It's like, why don't I remember? But I can't remember.
I'm saying now, the same thing to Jen. I'm like,
I've read
things are happening.
300,000
I remember
comics.
That. Yes.
Yeah, I've
exactly.
read so many books since then, but like, I can't remember the crux of like why he survived. So.
Right.
It's like I'm watching a brand new show.
Yeah, it really is. Because I almost wanted to go grab the books and be like,
"Me too." I wanted to sneak ahead again and see if I remembered.
I don't want
to
do that to myself. But
now I don't want to wreck the show for myself. I don't want to spoil the show of a book I already read.
Right. I feel the exact same way. I'm just like, and I. That's why I said it had to be at least 2 years ago that we went through this.
It was probably 2 years. I think I read Walking Dead, and then I picked this one up and read that next. So I read this one after that. It's probably been 2 years.
I almost wanted to say you read this one first, and then we're like, you know what? I'm going to go through Walking Dead. Because
maybe
Walking Dead was long.
That it was long.
But when you were like halfway through this one, and I said, I'm going to do it too. So I jumped.
Well, and we read it because we knew that the show was eventually coming. Like this was a kind of a troubled production. Like it was on again, off again for a while. We talked about it several times.
Yeah.
But kind of once I knew that it was coming, and I'm a big fan of Brian K. Vaughan. Like a saga is my all time, I think, favorite.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like, you know, I always say my favorite book was New Teen Titans, of course, from the 80s. I mean, I still love that, but you know, Saga is fantastic. Like it's so good. So I like Brian K. Vaughan anyways. So I was like, well, they're making a show. It's Brian K. Vaughan. You know, I gotta read this. And
yeah.
And it was a tremendous book too. Like it was a great series. I just can't remember it. Like I don't remember what happened. So, which I'm kind of glad
don't
I don't
get
in a way.
Recommendation than that.
Right.
Pick up the book because you'll forget it.
Well, like you said, as I'm watching the episodes, I'm remembering things. Like,
things
I was
that
like,
are
yeah,
happening.
I remember that. I remember that too. But the big reveal, I don't remember. And
right.
Like, it'll probably come to me before we get to the end of the show. But I can't really remember what it
exactly.
was.
Exactly. So, yeah, it is pretty funny because I'm saying Jen's like, so what's going to happen? I'm like, I don't
know. I don't know.
I
kind of don't
know. I know. We could talk more in spoilers.
Yeah, because I've got some other things
but
to say.
It's very well done.
But
I mean, the
it is.
Production
yes.
is very well. It's a great story. I have one beef that
I have
we'll
a little
talk.
Bit of a beef too, actually. So we'll,
I think
we'll talk about
I wouldn't be shocked if we have the same beef. I know you. So, and if we don't have the same beef, I think you'll understand mine if it's not.
Okay.
If you're not. So, all right, go ahead. What else you got?
I watched, there's a new series based on one of Dan Brown's novels called The Lost Symbol.
Yes.
It started on Peacock. There's only been one episode. I read the book as well. But yeah, there's only been one episode so far. This is kind of a prequel to like the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it's a younger Robert Langdon, but it's definitely the same, you know, it's the same character, the same world. Obviously different actors, not Tom Hanks. But did you get a chance to watch the show?
No, I just saw it on Apple TV.
It was really good.
Through and I saw it. What's it on, Hulu or something?
It's actually on Peacock.
Peacock, you're right. Yep.
Yeah.
And, but I was scrolling through really Apple good, TV and it went by and I was like, The Lost Symbol, because I read
That's how I found it.
Loved the book. I love all the Langdon books. I've read
Me too, and I've read all of them. Yeah. I've read all the books. I've seen the movies. I don't remember this story specifically. I'm sure, again, I'm sure as we go through it, it'll come
very
back
similar
to me,
Why the Last Man.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when I read this book.
No,
you know,
I know.
15 years ago or whatever it was.
Right.
But yeah, it's really good. And like I said, I love that world and, you know, the puzzles
symbology,
and all the stuff
that it pulls up.
So
great.
Looks like it's going to be a fun series, though. It had a really great start for episode one. Then we watched HBO Max on Friday. We watched Cry Macho. That was the day and date release from Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, how was that?
It was pretty good. Although, like, a little unbelievable in the sense that, you know, Clint Eastwood is 91 years old. And, you know, he's on this adventure doing things that, like, a 91-year-old shouldn't be doing. You know what I mean? And he's really showing, yes, and he's really showing his age. Like, he's all hunched over. Like, he looks 91. But he directed this movie and still remembers all his lines. So, I mean, there's a credit there, but I can buy all that. What I can't buy is kind of some of the, he gets into some act, you know, like he's punching people and he's in car chases. And it's like, you're freaking 91 years old, dude. And as I was watching this, I got a little scared for Indiana Jones 5. And was I going to feel the same way when there's an 85-year-old Harrison Ford running around with a whip and a gun and a hat? You know, like these guys are just too old to be doing these things. But all that being said, the story was pretty good. Like some of the acting was suspect. Like the kid, his acting in the beginning kind of really bugged me. I didn't think he was a very good actor. But as the movie went on, I guess he kind of settled in, or I just settled into it. And, you know, you start getting pulled into the story and you get invested in the characters. And it didn't stand out as much. But I thought some of the acting was, it was kind of rough in the beginning between the kid and I think Dwight Yoakam plays one of the characters and he didn't seem very good either. But overall it was fine. It was a good movie. Again, wasn't like, I don't think it's going to win any awards. It wasn't like a blockbuster, but it was a good story. So
cool.
You know, if you got, you know, it's on HBO Max. So if you got 2 hours and no money to kill, then you can go ahead and watch it because it's free. It's free there. Right. You don't have to pay anything to watch it. So you might as well watch. Like I wouldn't have gone to the theater to see it probably, but it's good. This is one of those movies that where day and date kind of helps it, at least for me, because I wouldn't have gone to pay money to see this in the theater, but I definitely watched it.
No, this is probably one you would have seen on HBO Max when it was free on HBO Max.
Exactly. You know, like I would have gone to pay for Suicide Squad. You know, there's some movies that I would go to the theater for. This isn't one of them. And then we started Lucifer season 6.
Oh, okay.
We're I think 3 episodes in, so we're fairly early on.
Yeah, we're 2 in.
You know, it's Lucifer, it's great, you know. I mean,
what
can you say?
But it's not as good as it used to be. It's story's
different.
Getting hokier.
Well,
you've got more.
The dynamic has changed a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's not the mystery of the week or the murder of the week. Although, I mean, there still kind of is that. It's just they're not the ones that are mainly part of it anymore. They're kind of trying to insert themselves into what's going on. But I don't know. It's like I'm down for it because it's.
Oh, yeah.
I love all the characters. I love the, you know, the whole story. So even if it's not quite as good as some of the other seasons so far, you know, it's going to be great. And then, you know, we watched Titans. We watched Ted Lasso. You know, we watched, you know, the normal stuff. Morning Show came back. So we watched the first episode of that. So
really good.
Yeah, really I love that show. Yeah.
Jen was funny. She goes, she's like, well, I don't really remember it. Can we watch the first season first? I was like,
They did a good enough job on the recap.
I go,
yeah,
the recap
was pretty good. Yeah.
I'm like,
because I didn't remember a lot of it either, but by the end of the recap, I was good to go.
Right. But I was like, she wanted to do 10 episodes, 10 hours of programming, and we're having trouble keeping up with the existing stuff. She wants to recap by rewatching.
There's like 50 shows that you've started and haven't finished yet.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. I know.
So
I was
because I'm like thinking back. It's like, did you guys ever finish Selena? Did you guys ever finish? You know, there's so many shows you've started and never finished.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we, I mean, what was it that we came home Sunday? We came home after the Pats game. We were up at the restaurant and I was like, let's go home and we'll watch. We'll have our every night we go to the bar after the Pats and we have our dinner and then we come home and we'll have a Sunday and she makes the Sundays and we watch a TV show.
Right.
And I can't remember what show it was. And here's why. I was like, I finished my Sunday and I was like,
fell asleep.
Oh, yeah. I was out. She woke me up to say, I stopped it. We'll watch it later. I don't even know what it was. I didn't make it, but I apologize. I was like, I'm sorry. I just, I don't know. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything I watched outside of any of that. Ted Lasso, like that beard, that was a
it was
weird
the beard episode.
Episode.
Yeah, that but it was fine. I was kind of like, I don't know if I need the beard episode, but by the end of it, it was fine.
It
you
was
know?
Fine.
Definitely but wasn't the best episode of the show, especially because of where we left off the week before. And this is what always happens, right? Like you get these one-off episodes right after a big ending that you kind of want. Like I want to know more from, you know, about Ted and his dad and, you know, Jamie and his dad and like instead we get the beard episode.
Yeah.
But
and we still don't know about what's his name, the Nathan being a dink.
Right.
We still
right.
haven't revisited that. I mean, he yelled at the clubhouse kid or whatever. And
right.
You like I mean the whole beard episode though, I feel like you like me the whole time, like, is this in his head? Like, is he imagining
I thought it,
all this?
At first I thought it was, yeah.
Because
but
he kept
then,
dropping the same key, that weird skeleton key or whatever. And it's like,
I thought it was for a little while, too. I thought it was a dream and he was just going to wake up in either in the bar or, you know.
Because part of it was in his head.
Or whatever.
Those ESPN guys talking on the TV that translated into the rest of, you know, the night. It was just really weird. And I mean, it was entertaining.
It was, but you know. Yeah, it wasn't quite what I was wanting this week out of that show, but,
but
I guess we'll get back to it this week. I'm sure.
I hope so. They did well at the, Emmys.
They did really well. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did well enough that we should be getting seasons 5 and 6 of that show. You know, they need to ride that show until it, you know.
One of the podcasts I listened to, the
ride it wet and put it away hard. She fell onto Dick.
What happens when you do that?
Yep, it is what happens.
I can't wait to tell Jen that one.
Yeah, that's funny.
Because I was like, that's not right.
I don't think that's right. I didn't think it was right when I was saying it, but I
read
like,
Seabiscuit and that ain't it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. Wow. John, it's been a long day, but you keep me entertained, buddy.
That's what I'm here for.
That was great. All right. yeah, we're still plugging away on all of those as well, like Euphoria, and Jen loves that one. She loved the. Have you done Only Murders in the Building yet?
No, not yet. By the way, we're not recording, and I don't know how long we've...
Down there, we're not. We are recording here.
Okay, all right. I'm just looking
at
it.
I shut that off to help with your computer and the internet issue we were having.
Okay, all right. I just came back to the video, and I was like,
no worries.
I see we're not recording.
Yeah, I record, I record here. We're good.
Yeah. No, I haven't got to that yet.
You'll love it.
Probably after Lucifer. Now we'll probably get to that.
I think they're only a half hour, 40 minutes long. You can cook through them. It's a good show. Yeah. Really, really good show, yeah.
But we've also got, I've got Sex Education season 3 queued up too, because I really liked those. I loved the first two seasons. This is actually a really funny show.
Is it really?
Yeah, and they're 30-minute episodes too. Gillian Anderson and who's the guy? Who's the kid? Ender's Game. What's his name?
Ender's Game.
Yeah, he was in that movie, Ender's Game. I can't think of his name, but anyway, you'd recognize him if you saw him. But it's a pretty funny show.
Let's see.
I may have to. Nope. Yeah. Nope. I'll go to the Google machine and look it up.
I know.
Ender's Game.
I think is he the same? Asa Butterfield.
Asa Butterfield. Yeah. Hmm. I never would have remembered his name, but but you know, I recognized his face.
But. All right, did you ever catch any of those trailers? Did you see the Hawkeye trailer yet?
I did.
What'd you think?
Yeah, it looks great,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Again, it's on my playlist at the store now, so I've seen it like 900 times.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun. But it looks like a holiday show. Like, because it's going to take place basically between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's when we're going to be talking about it. And it's got that, all of that stuff. How about The Matrix?
I still haven't seen The Matrix trailer.
Oh, okay.
I haven't gone out of my way to find it, honestly.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's M-A-T-R-I-X.
I have to really dig. I have to really dig for it.
Dig. A lot of sleuthing, internet sleuthing going on. All right. Is that it? Is that all we got before we get to Kryptonite there?
I think so.
All right. We'll wrap it up there then. And hey, everybody, thanks for listening. If you would like to contribute to the new Bright Side mailbag or the Arkham mailbag, you can tweet at us at brightside_chat. Or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com, and we'll talk about your comments, questions, comments, anything like that. And what was that question for? Oh, what do you call yourselves?
Yeah, what do you guys want to be called?
Yeah, because right now I think the leader in the clubhouse is the few.
The few, the proud.
The few. The few, the proud. Not so proud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Embarrassed.
Yeah, exactly. And as I'm saying this, Carl, Tom, I'm actually getting messages from them right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we will save those for next week.
With the name? Because they haven't even heard the show yet.
No, yeah, they don't. Yeah, I know. Nope, yeah, as I'm recording right now.
That's how good we are.
Emails. Actually, Tom is hitting us up on Twitter, so I get the email because he DMs us, and then Carl sent an email. So we will see next week and anybody else wants to join in. All right. That will do it for this week. We will be back with What If, DC Titans, Why the Last Man, all of that in Kryptonite. So we will see you on the other side. And where's my outro? There's the outro. Woo! Hey, Fred. All right, John. Is it locked?
It is locked.
Wait. All right, what do we want to talk about first? To be honest with you, I don't... You're going to have to give me a couple little hints at what actually happened in Titans and What If. Refresh my memory.
What If was the Killmonger episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was
with,
great.
With Tony Stark. So it was really good. Still not one of my favorites,
though. I can't believe it wasn't Hank Pym.
I know. Yeah, I thought it was good. Like I said, I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. It doesn't go down as one of my favorite episodes of the series.
You know what it felt like to me? The entire episode felt like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. Life will find a way, or destiny is guaranteed. You know what I mean? Whatever happens, it's just going to happen one way or another. And I just, I thought it was really cool, but it was kind of depressing too, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, the way that all went down. It was weird seeing Tony, I liked how they opened it and said, like, what did they say? Like, heroes are born from a challenge. And where Tony didn't get
adversity,
born out of adversity and stuff, and where he didn't get that, he never had that growth, and he was just still the playboy the entire time.
Right. Well, because he never got kidnapped, he never got You know, he never got hurt, so he doesn't become Iron Man. And,
yeah.
You know, like how things change. You know, when that doesn't happen, so.
And then of course, the entire thing was a gigantic, like, conspiracy set up by, you know, Killmonger setting up that entire thing from the beginning, which was pretty cool. I mean, you kind of see it coming, but
it was still
really good. A lot of fun.
You did. Like, he's still a villain, right? Like,
Oh, yeah. I feel like he's a bigger villain here than he was in
the movie. Because he... you know, was giving more, like Tony took him in, right? Like Tony took him in, made him like head of security, like co-CEO. Like he really kind of brought him into the company and, you know, gave him the keys to the kingdom, and he gets betrayed, right?
Right.
So,
but Pepper was never like, she didn't trust
Pepper
anybody.
never trusted him from the beginning.
That was pretty cool.
Happy didn't really trust him either. More so because Happy felt like he was taking his promotions, and
he
his
really
positions.
Was. He ended up. Yeah. That's what it was.
Right. But and then of course, you know, he goes into Wakanda and, you know, betrays everybody there too.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah.
All to become Black Panther.
Ultimately, like his motivations were the same as they were in the movies. He kind of wanted the same thing, but he went about it a lot differently, of course, in this show. So.
Right. Different plan. Same person, different plan.
Right. But. So in a sense, it didn't feel as what if, you know what I mean? Because it kind of was the same as what he had in the movies, you know?
Well, right.
I mean, it was definitely what if because you didn't have Tony, you know, there was no Iron Man. There was no.
Right. It felt like a what if about Tony. But it became the story of what he did, of what Killmonger did. Because it's not really the what if. I guess it is. It's like, what if Killmonger did this earlier? But then you could have said that in Black Panther. What if he had done that earlier? It's like, you know. But I felt like it started in one direction saying, like, what if Iron Man never got captured? But then it went in a completely. So if Iron Man never gets captured. Well, it depends on why, really.
It's,
and this one here, it was just
it
out
was
of
because
Killmonger.
It was Killmonger, right?
Yeah. So. All right. Anything else on that?
No, not too much.
All right. Let's wrap up with Why the Last Man. We'll talk about Titans right now.
Okay.
All right. There it is. Got to play it. One of my favorite themes.
I know.
All right.
And you're so white.
I am. Yes, I am.
Yeah. As we discovered last week when we talked about that theme.
Yep. So. Tune into YouTube to watch me dance.
Right.
Quotations. Dance. All right. What happened in Titans?
Yeah. I don't know. No, I mean, I'm a little fuzzy on it as well, to be honest with you. But the crux of it was...
this is a great kryptonite.
Well, I don't know why. For some reason, it's
somebody
not...
Somebody want to call in and spoil it for us?
For some reason, I'm not really remembering it either. But I remember, the crux of it was Jason wanting to come home, right? Like, he wanted to...
Oh, that's right.
You know, he wanted to come back.
Yeah. Like, Gar had a great line.
He meets with Dick, wants to come back. You know, there was a lot of... Tim Drake, you know, wanting to, like, Tim's trying
to help out.
Yeah, yep. Basically tells Dick that, hey, I know you're Nightwing. I know Bruce is back. You know, just like the comics, like
right.
He's figured it out. He thinks that he thought that Jason was the second Robin, but then he doesn't think so because of the whole Red Hood thing, but he doesn't realize that he's right about that.
But
too.
How about how he figured it out? Like, he judged his gait.
Right.
Right? The
right.
way he walked.
For Jason, right.
Right. He figured out Jason was Robin because he saw Jason's gait and he knew Robin's gait and he knew he could right. do that. What I thought was cool about that is that actually gave Dick the idea to talk to Barbara.
Him. Right.
And be like, check all the camera footage and track this gate and we'll find him. And it was right. like,
which, like, I don't believe that's so cool. a thing actually, but
I think it actually is, to be honest. But I think I've heard of that.
But even the way he figured out with Dick, and it was because of the moves. Like, he was in the audience the night
right.
his parents died, and he remembered the moves, and he said, you know, only two people could do that, your dad and you.
Yeah.
And then he's like, but Robin did that and Nightwing did that. You know what I mean? And
right.
so he put all that together. So there was all of that. But
which I thought was really, really cool. And
yeah,
I love Dick's response.
It was
response.
Very cool. He stole my moves.
The guy stole my moves.
Right.
He lifted my moves. What's the big deal?
So so you had all of that. And then, you know, the end of it, you know, then it comes down to, you know, Dick thinks he should give him a second chance. Garfield thinks he should give him a second chance. The rest of the team don't think he deserves another chance. Then Gar has that line, you know, well, when
yeah.
I was taken over and went feral, you know, you guys took me back, no question asked.
Yeah.
And, you know, she says, well, you were being manipulated. And Gar says, well, so was Jason, right? He was
right.
being drugged and being manipulated. But then you get the classic... misunderstanding at the end, right? Like they go to the warehouse or wherever they're supposed to go to meet Jason.
And Tim
gets shot by Scarecrow, but Superboy sees Jason at the body. So now you're going to have the classic misunderstanding where they all think Jason shot him.
Yeah.
And it's going to mess up. I'm sure it's going to mess up his plans to come back. And, you know, all that will happen next week, I'm sure. But,
yeah, but we still kind of dragging it out. We don't have, what's her name yet? Like you said.
Well, yeah, this is just like, another week. This is just like I'm on the Donna Troy watch at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know where's Raven, where's Donna, what's going on. We're 8 episodes in now. There's only 4 left. So I don't know when we're going to get any of that. We might not even get it, except I know that. The actress that plays Donna Troy is in this season, so she has to show up eventually.
Eventually.
It can't have just been that one little nightmare scene and that's it. So,
wow.
And then the other thing that there was one line that Dick had that kind of clarified something we were talking about last week. He mentioned something to Barbara, and he said, from jewel thief to commissioner to something, 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 right? And nowhere in that something, something, something was Batgirl. Or, you know, so
right.
we're led to believe that she goes from being a jewel thief to being the commissioner to being whatever he was talking about that week, you know, dancer or whatever, you know what I mean? But they never mentioned anything. To me, that one line solidified the
yeah.
fact that she never became Batgirl in this world, so...
Which is weird.
Like, it is
why
weird.
Why would you omit that?
Right. Like, why bring Barbara Gordon into your Titan show? And even if she's not going to be Batgirl in the show, like, why write out the fact that she was ever Batgirl to begin with?
Her whole
like,
history.
Yeah, it's like, why rewrite all that? It just doesn't make any sense at all.
But what, you know? What was kind of... It's not funny, though, but it's like they give her the wheelchair. They give her the... They're giving you the illusion that she has the same past, that's the Barbara Gordon
right.
that we know.
But it's not.
And then as the show goes on, they keep pulling that back these layers of being like, it's not the same Barbara
right.
Gordon. We're like, but that's not good.
Because she wasn't Oracle either. Oracle was a
Oracle's
completely different
machine.
Thing. She used Oracle.
Right.
But she was never Oracle. So... So all that being said, I still don't know what her connection is to Bruce. And why is Bruce okay with her just sitting in his house talking about Batman and Robin stuff? You know what I mean? She was never anything but a jewel thief and the commissioner. So so that whole thing is a little weird to me.
And it's not like her and Dick fell in love and he spilled the beans because they knew
right.
each other that
she
first
knew
time
already.
He caught as the jewel sheet.
Right. She already knew who he was.
Yeah.
So why did she know that? It has to go back to Commissioner. It had to go back to her dad. In this version, he must have known that Bruce and that they were Batman and Robin. But it still doesn't explain why he would tell his daughter that.
you know?
So,
which is the reverse of the comics, though. No, he didn't know
in the comics. He never said he knew. Like it's revealed later on that he always knew. But
right.
never said anything, never brought it up and talked about it. But I think it was actually in this Joker series where it comes up.
Yeah.
Where he says, I always knew. Oh, that's right. It's when he talks about, he reveals to Barbara that he knew she was Batgirl and says, I've always known.
He's
just
a detective.
Didn't.
I'm not an idiot.
Right. He said, I never called anybody out on it.
Right.
Because it was never important. Like, it never, they never needed to really talk about it.
Right.
So, but yeah, I don't know. It's really weird narrative they're building up with Barbara in this series that just seems kind of overly complicated and unnecessary. There was already a story written, it was already there. Like, why rewrite something else?
Right.
Like, I don't, make it more confusing. Like, that's the whole thing is I can see, rewriting. They change things all the time, but don't change it to make it worse.
It doesn't make it worse, but it's just a different story, but unnecessarily different. Like,
right.
This entire show is for fans of the comic,
right.
People that aren't fans of the comic or have no idea. They don't care either way.
Right.
So. You're not actually doing anything for them except for not telling what her actual backstory is. But the people that do care, it's like you're kind of making them angry. what are you doing?
Right.
I don't see the benefit. It's not like
it's
they gave
weird,
her this great story that we're like, I like that one better. You're like,
it's
this
just
is
a weird.
Weird
choice that they, yeah, it's
yeah,
a weird choice
very
that they
weird.
Made with,
yeah.
with her. But
still like the show. Still enjoying it.
I still
it.
Do too, but it
Very
feels
well
like the
done.
Last couple of episodes have dragged a bit. And like,
yeah.
I'm kind of waiting for it to, kind of really ramp up to, like, is Jason ultimately the big bad or is it Scarecrow? Like, I feel like...
I don't think it's Jason.
We're just floundering a little bit in the middle of the season.
I don't think it's Scarecrow either. I think somebody else is the big bad, and that's what we're going to find out. Somebody's manipulating Scarecrow as well.
Yeah, so I think that, they got 4 episodes left. They need to spice it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But, because it's a testament that neither one of us can really remember what happened in the episode.
Well,
the
other thing is I watched them right away because I can't wait to see them. And then,
usually, I do too. I watched it Thursday.
Right. And, I try to get to watch them again before we come on or something, but I've just been.
But for me, it's
I
like reading comics. Between Thursday and Tuesday, I've also watched another 10 hours or 12 hours worth of shows, and it's hard to go back and remember.
Read books, read this, read that. You're like, what story are we talking?
That's why I specifically don't read the books until Monday.
Right.
So that they're fresh. So I should probably wait on the shows too, but.
There's only so much time in Monday.
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, if I don't, then I might not get to them all.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Hey, that's why we have each other, John. We kind of hash it out and figure it out for ourselves. Yep. There you go.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to Why the Last Man.
Yep.
All right. Here's my question for you.
Okay.
Now that we're into spoilers, we've already stated that it's pretty much following the comic. This is what I'm finding with the show, and Jen agrees with me, so I feel comfortable saying this. Is this portraying a bad image of women? Because she believes, like I do, that it kind of is.
Well, I think it does, but it doesn't. That's not very different from the book, I don't think.
But here's the difference, and that it's, I'm glad you said that, because that's where I was going. And Jen's like, was the book like this? And I said, yes, but it didn't seem as in your face, because in the book, you're reading panels.
Right.
And when you're looking at a panel and seeing the actions of the different characters, you're just reading what that character's thinking or saying, right?
Right.
But in a real show, in a live action show, and you're seeing that one character and the world behind him is not moving. Everything has come to a standstill.
Right.
It's just in your face that it's like, really? If all men died, like what, the women just curl up in a ball?
I wasn't looking at it that way. I was looking at it in their behavior, like towards each other. You know what I mean?
No, that actually I thought was kind of positive. That was kind of like, okay, they have some fight in them, but like for the president, like they found the women that can guard the vice president or the president, right? They've set up a perimeter. They've done all that. They can't find any women to run the power plants. They can't find. I mean, the world is shutting down because men don't exist. I find that hard to believe. And it's so in your face. It's like, can you imagine that? I was like, even Jen and I were talking, like, in this world, in our little world of our house, if this is what happened, I'm like, we have a generator. I'm like, yeah. You'd figure out how to start it. I'm like, and she's like, I might not know. I go, you're telling me Meg wouldn't know? And that was, she would figure it out. She would fight to figure. And there are many women that are like that. They'll fight to figure something out.
I don't think my wife could ever watch TV again because somebody she wouldn't be able to figure out how to turn it on. But I see what you're saying, but I think it's not even so much that they're saying that the women don't know how to do this stuff, but like, there's not enough to go around, right? Like, you just lost 50% of the population. So how do you man all these positions and all these jobs with half the amount of people? I think that's the,
but that's what I mean. It's like, why did cell towers stop working? Cause men died. The world shut down because men died. What kind of indictment is that on women? And I'm like, could honestly, and I'm not trying to, because Jen says the same thing, and I just feel bad. I'm like, if all the women died, do you think that's what it would look like?
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying men, I'm thinking the show's wrong. I think the women would step up. And Jen and I even said different cultures around the world, it would be different because there are in this country in particular, there's no way the women would stand for this. They'd be like, right. Oh, we got to get somebody to the power. I mean, do you think men are sitting around shoveling coal nowadays in these power plants and then no women allowed or whatever? It's like, I mean, I'm sure there's women working there. I'm sure they'd find a way to keep these things running. Cell towers? Oh, men all died. Well, my cell service is out. Why? I just thought that was weird. And like you said, it was in the book. It just didn't jump out at me.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing, because it's supposed to be an apocalypse. Like it has to. It's the narrative, right? If it didn't happen, then the whole story is completely different.
Right.
I didn't. I was more along the lines of, and this goes to where, not even this show, but it goes to every single zombie show that you watch and every single thing that you watch. It's like whenever society starts to break down, nobody seems to be able to work together anymore. You know what I mean? It's like
right.
Everybody is fighting. Can't you accomplish, like, you might be able to accomplish these things. You might be able to get the cell tower working again. You might be able to get the power plants working again. But the problem is everybody's instantly turned on everybody else.
Right.
It instantly becomes a, and I understand everybody's survival instincts kick in and everybody wants to survive. But, like, why do we have to be at odds with other people? You know, like, right. in any zombie show you watch, the biggest threat to people is other people. It's never the zombies, you right. know? In this case, the biggest threat to everybody's survival are all the other people,
right.
you know? And I don't understand why, and maybe that's what would happen if society broke down. I don't know, but well, I that's feel like...
That's why it's society is breaking down and us right, working but together is
but
breaking
what I'm saying
down.
Is, right, but what I'm saying is why is nobody thought... Hey, maybe this would be better if we all worked together. You know what I
right.
mean? Like, I don't know. I just don't understand. But to me, that's where it seems like it's painting the women in the worst light. And it's not even – it's just because they happen to all be women.
Right.
To me, it's just people. People
correct.
Are garbage,
and
right?
That's why but, that didn't bother me is because, yeah, people are garbage. It's – I think the women
but you
in
would
that
think
case,
with all the men gone – the women supposed to be the more, I don't even want to say fairer sex, but the more like compassionate
oh, no.
and the more like you would think they would be more apt to want to work together and not necessarily fighting against each other, you
right.
know, but they're not like it's just everybody's pitted. It's like, again, every quote unquote, every man for himself, every woman for herself.
Right.
And, you know, nobody seems to want to, and that to me is why these things aren't getting done. It's because everybody just lost their minds, and like nobody wants to work with anybody. Like even the president, she calls the one lady that can fix everything, and she don't want to do it.
Right?
You know, she's like, I don't want to do it. I can't do it because I saw my two boys die. Well, you know what? We all saw all our boys die.
Right.
You know, but unless you want to die, you need to come and do this, right? Like, there's time to mourn, and we're all sad, but...
Oh, I thought you were just like, going to go into Footloose, and there's a
right,
time to dance.
Right, but, like, you know, we're all sad, but, hey, you know...
Right.
Life goes on. Like, life is for the living. Like, we've got to keep going, you know what I mean? And,
right. Yeah, it's...
I don't know. That wasn't my beef, though. Yeah, so we have different beefs, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I definitely see where you're coming. You know, I mean, I don't disagree with
it's
what you're
saying. It's just so in your face watching it on TV. And I'm like I said, I'm like, it's in the books.
Yeah.
It's just not, it didn't jump out at me as much in the books. And I didn't find, I'm not offended by it. It's a take.
Right.
And
right.
I just feel like, as like, for women, I'm like, man. I'm like, I'd be really sad if all women were gone, but
well, I would too. But
I would still be like, I don't know.
But see, I feel like men are more apt to act the way the women are acting in this show. You know,
you do?
Men are. I think like men are macho. Like men are like, you know, it's every man. Everybody's going to grab their gun and they're going to strap in and they're going to go. You know what I mean? I would think the women would be more prone to working together and, you know, trying to solve the problems where. I think the men would be more quick to, you know, like I said, to be fighting, to be fighting and to be, you know, not working together and, you know, again, trying to every man for himself kind of thing. But the show isn't about men.
No.
Unfortunately, the show is about all the women. And
it's not called Sausage Fest.
Right. And you know, the book was written this way. Like, you can't change the show to not have society break down because
it's
not the
I
same
know.
Show.
I know. I just
those things
it was...
have to happen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're not watching, you know, like I said, otherwise we're not watching the show. But my beef is actually with Yorick. Like, I just think he's a petulant pain in the ass. Like he's just like, oh. I don't remember him being that way in the comic. You know what I mean? Like, he was more wanting to, like, all this guy cares about is finding his girlfriend.
But that's what it was in the comic, too.
It was, but he also was understanding that, hey, I carry... Like, he was also more willing to want to figure out what was going on, and...
I mean, in the comic, he's on a quest to find his girlfriend, which I do believe, even in the comic, doesn't she make it to Australia? That's where she thinks she's in the comic, right?
Right.
And... We're in kryptonite. So, can we spoil? In the comic, he runs into his sister.
Right. Well, I'm sure they will in this show, too.
Right.
Because that's the other thing, too. Like, in this show.
Is this the book where women have their one breast removed? Is that this comic?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So they can pull a bow.
Right. But what I don't remember from the comic, at least, is him being reunited with his mother so quickly.
Right.
Like, in the comic, it was much further down the line before he he finds his mother again. Where in this one, it was like episode two. Like, he's in the White House, you know.
That's what I mean.
But I don't know. Like he just feels...
He still has his quest to go on.
He is so annoying and so petulant and such a pain in the ass, in this show. Like, that's my beef. Like, he really bugs me. And I feel like the comic is dark in the sense that the subject matter is obviously dark, but it didn't feel as dark as this show feels. You know, like the show feels super depressing and dark. You know, and I didn't get the same vibe from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the book, even though again the subject matter of all the men dying is not a happy thing.
We're dead, John.
But there was still moments of levity. Like it was a little bit. It didn't feel as dark and depressing as the show does.
But see, I think that's what I mean. It's like the darkness really jumps out. The world coming to a crash because the men aren't around really just jumps out at you, this apocalypse. Right. Whereas, like I said, when you're reading it in the book, you're more concerned with the character in the panel than you are in that whole background scene of what's going on behind that character. Right. And in this show, there's a lot more imagery of what, and that's the other thing I found, it was funny, in episode one, they show all the cars, crashed, were there no women driving?
I think there were, they just didn't go out of their way to show that.
Well, then they showed an example, I remember.
But they also do talk about a lot of women dying, a lot of women were casualties in those
crashes,
and plane crashes. Like, a lot of women died, too. So, we're saying 50% of the world population died, but it's actually more than that.
Right.
Because, a good portion of the women were killed in all of these crashes and plane crashes and accidents and things like that. So
you got to figure too. Even if you weren't killed, but you were seriously injured,
who's helping you? Right, you're just gonna die because nobody's coming.
Everything's
nobody's
shut
coming
down.
To get you.
There's no place to take you. It's like not that there aren't women doctors, but you just
but they don't know. Right. They're not unless they're right where you are at the time when you get hurt.
Right.
Their chances are you're not. They're not going to find you. So,
it's really dark. And I think it's so evident though in the show compared to the book. And I kind of want to go back. It shouldn't take long to read the book again after the show, but I have a feeling, like I said, I'm like, you've seen the fourth episode. I haven't seen the fourth yet, but we've got to be almost halfway through the series. Is it 12 or 10, 12?
10. I think it's 10.
Is it 10? So we're almost halfway through, and I feel like we're only in the beginnings of the book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think they're definitely setting this up for a multiple season. Like, this is going to... Well, hopefully. I think they hope it goes. Like, it could get canceled next season, Depends on how it does, but...
Right.
But I think they're pacing it out to last multiple seasons.
Yeah.
So, hell, he might not even get to Boston this season. You know what I mean? So, because doesn't his sister ends up in the book? She's with those women with the one breasts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's part of it. She's like the leader of them or something.
She's like the leader, and she says that, like, they hear about him. She doesn't know it's him. And for anybody that hasn't read the book, sorry. But
yeah, well, we're in spoilers.
But doesn't she actually, doesn't she actually command them to kill him?
I think so. That's what I'm saying. It's not like a happy reunion. Because
I remember, you know? It's like, I think that's at the end of, like, one of the books. That when I was reading them, it's like at the end of the book, you're like, and I want him dead. And you're like, uh-oh, she doesn't know it's her brother. She doesn't know. It's like, but then she's the one that actually finds him. Something like that. And then now she has to be like, oh. Or maybe she was told to go out and find this man and kill him or something.
I don't remember exactly, but it's coming back to me that she was part of that group.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know that, she was part of
like
the group.
When they, when they finally meet each other, it's not like a happy reunion, you know?
Yeah. So. And I don't remember her being a an addict or anything in the book. I don't remember any of that stuff.
Don't remember that either. Yeah, I don't remember that either.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe, like you said, it seems to me like we've got four episodes, and it looks like they're giving a little bit more or different backstory to the characters. And then, so like you said, it looks like they're going
Umbrella
Academy.
Well, they actually gave them backstories, too, because there was...
They're stretching it out.
You know, the book just begins, if I'm not mistaken, the first page of the book or the beginning of the book is him scrounging through New York City, like kind of it was in the show. We didn't get any of the before times in the comics. Like, there was no real backstory or build up to anything
that
happened.
The day it happened, as it was happening. And it was kind of like it came on slowly, and you saw little animals and stuff, which was gross. Yeah. But then when it actually, the men started getting in the blood and the, they went all in on that. It was
glory. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But you didn't get any of that in the book. There was just kind of... It had already happened, and it just moved on. And, you know, again, it's a show. I don't have a problem with them doing that. I understand why they do that stuff for TV audiences, but it was just different that, you know, they went to that trouble that, like I said, the comic never did. So,
yeah. It's good, though. Good. Jen likes it.
Yeah, that's the same. Lydia likes it too. Yeah, nice. Lydia likes it. Yeah, I like it. It feels like we're complaining a lot, and
no,
it's just because
really
we're comparing
it.
We're comparing it to something else.
Books. Yeah,
but it. Yeah, I really liked it. You know, so far I've enjoyed it. You know, I think it's. You know, I think it's going to be good. I said at the end of episode four, I think he calms down a little bit, but like he just was really he's really getting on my nerves though. You know, through the first few episodes.
Me.
So, well, you didn't see four yet. Wait till you
true.
See episode four.
That's true.
And then tell me he's not, you know, he's not annoying because he is super annoying. But
great show though.
But
great
show.
And
really,
I'm really excited that Jen's really excited to watch. She's well, watch another.
Right.
One. I'm like, all right.
Well, it's always it's always good when she likes what you like because then you get to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, but we're really engaged in the show too. Like I said, I'm not kidding. Like we're talking the whole way through. Like really, look at that. Well, and I haven't told her the part about like the women and you know, are they? I wonder if they're gonna do that in the show. I wouldn't be surprised if they do. Cut off a breast.
Oh, I'm sure
the
they
show.
Probably will. Oh, well, I don't think they're really. I mean, that's
not
method
real
acting
life.
For sure, but you know, that's Daniel Day-Lewis stuff right there. Yeah, but that's some real Christian Bale stuff going on now.
Yeah, exactly. I did this.
I committed to this role. But and no, I'm sure it'll
sorry,
be part of
season
this.
Two has been canceled. Wait, yeah. What?
What? I was all in on this. I read the books. I read ahead in the books, and I went to the doctors, took care of this. But no, I'm sure that'll be part of the story because it was a big part of the book. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole and that was their that was the first. I think in the book that was their first semblance of like society again. They were that was the group.
And right.
They were kind of like evil. They weren't evil, but they were protecting themselves. So
yeah.
And they're up here in Massachusetts. Gets cold up
go
here.
Go figure.
John.
Yeah, go figure.
Huddle together. Oh, all right. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. that'll do it for this week. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week with another exciting Bright Side
Maybe
chat.
We'll remember the shows that we watched or the books
Probably
that we read.
Probably not. Probably not. Depends. If it's a rainy day, I'll have everything at the top of my head because I rewatch. If it's raining on the day we record, I just go and rewatch everything over again.
Right, right.
I got the time. So, but all right. Have a great week, everybody. We will see you next week.
All right. Take care, everyone.